It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, what up, everybody? B. Mitch here, rolling, holding down the show today by myself. B. Mitch of Philly, 106.7 The Fan. Drew Pooh is going to be calling in soon. We're going to talk a little bit about what he and I both thought was going to happen and what finally happened. And I think now we can put it to rest. People, every time something happens, let's not go to Brandon Ayuk. And I would say a lot of people are off of Brandon Ayuk already, and now I'm putting Travis Hunter as the next receiver here. Can we play a damn football season first? Can we get one game under our belt to figure this thing out? Hey, Jay, calling, tuning in right now. JP, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm good, dude. I'm good. I tell you, you are right. There is so much football to look forward to. I don't know why everybody jumps ahead to the draft next year or whatever. But that catch Hunter made was banana land.
It was a banana land catch, but you know what? They're saying Travis Hunter. If Travis Hunter plays like he played last night, I hope to God that we're not picking him first. You know what
right.
I mean?
Because
if that's the case, we're going to have to be horrible to be picking at that top. I don't want to see that. But the guy is unbelievable. I'll say this real quick. I think he should get into the Heisman race right now, because a guy that plays that well offensively and plays 50-plus plays defensively, he needs to be discussed. And that right there shows. Like I would tell you, people don't consider the quarterbacks the best players. You know, he's better than the quarterbacks out there.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Truly, truly fantastic. I don't know. Shadur can make big throws, but damn, he holds onto the ball too long. That Colorado defense is – I mean, North Dakota State is a well-coached, tough-ass football team.
Oh, yeah.
I think people are probably a little too dismissive of them.
They've won five championships, dog.
Right. Like, that's a good team, but they better play some better defense when they get into conference play in that Big 12, which is pretty wide open.
Their offense – I mean, their defense is very porous. They got a lot of holes. And I look at this thing, I say, for Deion, for me, as a coach and want the love and respect that he's supposed to get, his defense has to be better than what his defenses have been. Because their offense can move the ball. Their defense is the one that can't stop anybody. So he has to make his defense better.
Well, and you know what's remarkable, too, B, is Deion, probably the greatest corner of all time, right? Like, if he's not the greatest, he's one of. Like, his football talent's undeniable. But when he was part of championship squads, it's because they had incredible lines on both sides of the ball. I mean, those Cowboys, O-line and D-line, were just monsters. And the teams he's built in Colorado, and like as much as you like to let a guy build a program, in the era of the transfer portal, like every year is brand new anyway, it's just shocking to me how bad those lines are. I mean, North Dakota State could run on them. They were able to get to Shador on the defensive side. I just until you beef up that and you're able to compete with like the top flight programs that invest in their lines, I just don't know what they can become.
I just say when he was in Dallas, Charles Haley was a tear. And that would make any defensive back even better than what they were. So
with the Niners, didn't Charles Haley go to the Niners?
Charles was
year?
There. He was at the Niners and he was in Dallas.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So Charles travels and makes a lot of people. He made a lot of people a lot of money, got a lot of rings, but they like to give it to the guys that was in the glamour positions. But the reason I wanted to get you on, knowing that although you're out, Brandon Ayuk signs a 4-year extension, $120 million last night, and we both thought he was going back to San Fran, felt he was using other teams to just for negotiation ploys. He signs back last night, and then watch how you gonna say, "Oh man, I never wanted to go anywhere." your thoughts on that contract?
Are you and I allowed to take a quick victory lap on this?
Oh, yeah. I'm right around high-fiving. Because all of our fans, like, he said he wanted to play in Washington, and they really believe that. No, he wanted to play where the most money was going to be.
With. Yeah. Dude, this is all about money, always about money.
Yes.
And the Niners take their time, but they pay their guys. Like,
totally.
I hated this story kind of all along. I never thought he was in play. I think this week has been a real good reminder for Commanders fans of Adam Peters' long-term vision, trading away Dotson, trading away Ridgeway. Like, this is a long-term rebuild. Trading for a receiver that you got to pay $30 million a year and giving up picks to do it is not how you long-term rebuild. And I don't care if Jaden Daniels and Brandon Ayuk have Thanksgiving dinner together every year and their grandmothers are cousins. Like, this wasn't happening, didn't happen. If there was ever a time for it, it would have been in the draft. And once that passed, it was just – I hated how much pixels and time and space and conversation was spent on this, and I'm just glad it's over.
Yeah, like I say all the time, we have to get to the point where every time somebody's available, we need to stop acting so desperate.
Right.
Like Jeff walked in and said, man, you see what our Commanders are with the social media world saying now? Travis Hunter will be the first pick. Look, bro, we haven't played a season yet. We already clamoring for somebody else. Let's learn to have a little pride in the guys we have here. Put some support in them and they may get it. But when I look at Brandon Ayuk, like you said, the 49ers always get their guys. And I felt they would. But nothing happens until pressure begins to come. And pressure guess what? It's the season coming up. You see what Jamar Chase starting to miss games now in practice? Now. Why? Pressure. We'll see what the Bengals do. Because you know what? Joe Burrow don't want you to go through the season without Jamar Chase. So all these guys have learned. The teams have been doing it for years. Now the players and their agents have learned, hey, Trent Williams, Trent might get signed soon now too because the game starts next week.
I bet before a week from now, next Friday, Trent is paid and happy and the beat goes on. You know what I mean? Like, especially with that Niners team. I mean, the way at Trent's situation, I bet he just didn't really feel like going to camp. Was also a minor part of this holdout or in or whatever.
And that's
going
nothing
on
new.
There. The other thing I wanted to say, specific to Ayuk or Travis Hunter or whatever, you know, at this point, it's August 30th. There's a game in 8 days, 9 days. Like, if you're a Burgundy and Gold fan, you should be more concerned on what Noah Brown brings to this offense. Can Zacchaeus actually be a player? Can De'Ami Brown actually make good on all the potential and promise we've seen over years and certainly this summer? Like, this is the team you have, dude. Yep. And I think, much like last year, honestly, as the NFL trade deadline becomes a bigger and bigger kind of part of the league, like, I think it's entirely possible that Washington could be sellers again. And I know folks might not want to hear that, but if they have a good asset and trade deadline's what? First week of November, Halloween roughly. If they're sitting 2-5, which I don't expect, but it's possible, watch for them to sell. Like, we got to try to keep a long-term view on this thing. And then, you know, Travis Hunter made an absurd catch against North Dakota State in the season opener, right?
Yeah.
Like, there
and
might
people
be,
already want him.
Right, you know, but there's going to be this kid from Ohio State supposed to be incredible. Like, there's going to be other receivers. Like, we got to stop making judgments on snapshots. Like, read the whole book. Watch the whole movie.
It gets to a point where people like to say, oh, I'm a real fan. You're a real fan when you already have said your team is going to be sucking this year and you want to go get somebody that's the number one pick, number two pick, number three pick.
Right.
No, you should pull for the guys you have because – I don't believe in the fact that just because you're a first-rounder, you're going to be great. I don't believe just because you're a late-round pick that you're going to be sorry. I believe that we have all kind of stories written in this NFL where first-rounders don't make it. Guys that aren't drafted, they become stars. And guys in the middle become superstars. So let's allow it to at least to start to happen before we immediately start wanting everybody else's leftovers.
Football seasons are precious. Finite, limited resources, man. You're only guaranteed 17 games, and as soon as the season ends, you can't wait for the next season to end. So why don't we all just take a deep breath and just be ready for this season and the team they're going to roll out there, and Austin Eckler and Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu and Jamin Davis, and just watch this. You know what I mean? Don't be in a hurry for the next thing.
Hey, we have like a busy show today. We got Fred Smoot coming on. We'll get Fred's take on the defensive backfield and everything else. You know, Fred just going to talk about whatever we want to talk about. Santana Moss going to come on with us.
About Hunter playing offense and defense. Honestly, I mean, that's because when Fred played with Champ for a little while, like the last, I mean, I think Hunter, to me, as a prospect, is approaching Champ prospect level, right? Like, who knows what he'll become. But, I mean, Champ played not nearly as much offense at Georgia, but he did it.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And I think that's the ultimate thing. But, you know, that's something we could discuss at a later date.
Because
Travis Hunter isn't helping the Washington Commanders here in 2024. He's not going to do much for this team. He probably won't do anything for this team ever. Okay? Because nobody is going to be worried about him this year once the season starts. As I look at this team, I'm happy now that the Ayuk thing is gone so our fans can focus on what we have. And what we have is a team that I believe is going to be better coached. They're going to approach it in a different manner. They're going to compete at a high level, and they will be held accountable. All those things right there, I believe, can make this team a better team. Not saying a great team, but a better team than we were last year, and that's not easy to do. But this is the first step in a long process.
Hell yeah. I agree. I mean, better doesn't mean wild card or playoffs. Better means better, and I think they can be better.
I think you
got some veterans that help you kind of right away, too. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, guys that kind of change – the tempo and the tenor of everything. And I think that'll have real value.
You know, I did a thing on John Kimes' podcast, and I went back and I listened to it. You know, sometimes when you're talking, you don't really understand everything you're saying, so you go back and listen to it. And what I was basically saying is you got a team now with veteran guys that do it a certain way at a high level, and they've had a lot of success. Then you have two young guys who are high draft picks for your coach. They come in, and they seem to be already those type of players. When you start talking about leadership and guidance, I think they have that, and I think that you need that to take those steps. A lot of times people say who they think the leaders are. You know, a lot of times the people that everybody think is, they aren't. But we know who the guys are right now, and I believe just having different leadership and a different approach will change up the way that this team goes in the games and what comes out of it. As I stated, you know, you said it as well, we're not expecting a wild card stuff, but if that were to happen, it happens. But you're not expecting it.
No. Were you sipping, B? Is that why you don't remember what you said on Kimes' podcast?
No, I wasn't sipping at all. I was sitting right here after the show on, what was that, Monday or Tuesday? I was sitting right here.
I gotcha.
Just like when you're talking, you're into what you're saying, and you don't really dissect it all.
No, I'm not.
Just like when you do podcasts, I'm sure you go back and look at it, and some things you might see like, damn, I don't remember saying that.
Totally. I was just messing with you. I absolutely know.
Yeah. You always try to mess with me.
How are the Aquarium Boys? Everybody good?
They got to put on their headsets.
That's all right. Let them do this.
Jeff
thing.
Is answering now. About to answer.
We good, JP.
Sound like he's sleeping.
That was a lot of effort for Jeff to say we good, but I'm glad.
The other guy, I don't know if he's paying attention or not.
He's probably just mad at me for some reason.
Landfill, you listening? You want to know how you're feeling?
Good.
Dude, more college football tonight. B, I went 2-0 last night. I had Missouri. I had Missouri, and their head coach must have known the spread because they were up 48-0 with basically no time left, and he kicked a field goal to make it 51-0. They were laying 49.5.
But let me
How wild is that?
I ask you this question, though. Week one, there are not many big-time football games going on. Why don't they – like, this is the first weekend. You should have some better games than all of these one-sided football games.
They got some big ones. LSU's playing USC.
LSU-USC is a big one.
Georgia's playing Clemson.
Clemson-Georgia, right?
Clemson-Georgia tomorrow.
And then Miami and Florida. Everything else is minus 10 on up.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina-Minnesota was supposed to be a good game last night. It was kind of a dogfight, but that was the other bet I hit because I took the under. So, you know what? I thought the games last night were awesome, Brian.
Well, I think I need to. I'm going to call Doug and see if me and Doug can get a little bet. Because my college is playing Doug. We're favored by -33.5.
Grambling?
Yeah.
Yeah, call him.
I think he might tell me, nah, that's all right. But If I were him, I'll take that bet with the plus 33 because I don't think our team is that good.
How about just a big old bucket of gumbo? Whoever loses makes it, and I get
Doug
to attend.
Cook,
if Doug can't, I'm confident someone in his family can.
No, but see, if I'm going to bet him, I got to bet
Doug's
him.
He's got like eight daughters, I think.
Yeah, somebody but can. His daughters are young. I mean, you know, young kids don't cook gumbo. They do Uber Eats.
That's true. You know, my wife made me crab cakes last night. They were terrific.
Why?
Honestly, I believe I'm going to start a new show on Channel 4, and she was saying congratulations.
Oh, she was saying thank you because I'm going to buy something new.
you know that's happening regardless.
So, in other words, she said, listen, I'm going to take care of you right now because whatever you're about to make, I've spent it already.
The babies need
some teeth or some dip, what's called it? Braces or something of that nature?
Shelby's got her braces now, man. We're moving along. Shout out to Dr. Bruno.
Hi, man. So what you got going on the rest of the day before we get out of here and let you go so we can start our show and have Andrew Golden coming on?
I got a couple things to do, B, and then I'm going to try to hit a little white ball into a hole if the rain doesn't hit too hard.
All right. Jeff over there is quitting like he don't understand you said playing golf.
Yes, exactly.
So, these young dudes, they just kill me with this pause stuff.
Pause, Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, everything is about a pause or they think it's something like sexual. It's not sexual.
No,
it's going to play golf.
I was wondering where JP was going with this because he's famous for making the most basic things into that. So that's why I was looking like, what is he about to say?
That's not true, Jeff.
I think you assume
people
a lot
tune
on
in
that,
for
Jeff.
My football insight and analysis.
Okay.
Jeff just got his head in the gutter this morning.
It happens like that often, man. But all right, JP, I'm going to have some more calls later. I want to get it from you first. I'm going to ask people what are their expectations for this season. This is our last Friday before the actual week of football season.
That's awesome.
Real football starts. So we want to get all of this out. What is your expectation for this year?
I think 7-10 sounds about right. I think it's a hard
not necessarily
thought.
A record. I'm talking about what you want to see happen, what you're expecting as far as the players you have on the field and things like that. The record is so simple. I don't care to hear about the record.
But by far the most important thing that happens is Jaden Daniels asserts himself as the franchise quarterback for this football team going forward. That is, if I could have one thing happen this year, that's what's most important by mile.
All right, man. Well, appreciate it, bro.
All right, B. Have fun.
All right. That's JP Finley, the other half of this show. But, you know, it's just like when I saw the Aiyuk deal last night, I felt JP would love to discuss it a little bit because we both felt he was going back. And San Francisco is known for taking care of their guys. And I just felt as it got closer and the pressure begins to build, they were going to get him back. For everyone that thought that they were going to just get rid of him, you got to start thinking about the real seriousness of this game. Kyle Shanahan right now and Lynch, they are expected to win a Super Bowl. And the last damn thing you want to do is get rid of your better players. Aiyuk taken care of last night, how soon will it be for Trent to be taken care of? Because if they don't win a Super Bowl, people start thinking they can't win the big one. I know a lot of people was making those comments about Dan. He went to one. Kyle's been to several of them. Dan also has Super Bowl rings because he was defensive coordinator on winning teams. Kyle doesn't have that same thing. So if they don't start winning, it's going to become a problem. And the ultimate thing is you win with good players. You don't win when you don't have good players. So they had to get their guys back. Congratulations, Aiyuk. Thank you also for getting all of our guys off the ledge and thinking that every time something happens, we're going to be trying to bring you here. So thank you for signing with the 49ers. We can now get past that crap. And let's shut down the Travis Hunter stuff before it even gets started. Take a quick break here. We get back. Andrew Golden is going to join us. Talk a little bit about the Nats. Be Richard Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We'll be back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, P. Mitchell Philly, 106.7 The Fan. And joining us right now on a BetQL guest line, sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. Join us from the Washington Post, who covers the Nets, our friend Andrew Golden. Andrew, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Well, you know, we now have James Wood up. Dylan Cruz is now coming along. Are you starting to see this thing come together, like what they're expecting for the future of the Nets?
Yeah, I think it was pretty cool when I was writing out the lineup and doing the scorebook, and you write out the lineup, and there's more players that are going to be a part of the future than not. And I think that's something that they haven't been able to say for a while. And so I think it's really cool to have James, to have Dylan. You obviously have CJ up the middle. And then you have Luis Garcia second base. You have Cade Ruiz catching. So there's a lot of pieces. Even Jacob Young has turned himself into a nice center fielder this year. So there's a lot more young pieces, and I think it's been a really fun end of the year in the sense that you're just kind of getting to see the young guys kind of see what they can do and perform.
How far you think are they away from getting into the point where it's not us still saying, are they rebuilding? They're trying to get in position to where this is when they're supposed to start taking off.
Yeah, honestly, I think it could be as soon as this offseason that they want to spend some money. I think they have the ability to sign – maybe find some more power in their line, maybe a first baseman or a DH or somebody of that sort. I think if they decided maybe investments want to spend, I also have to get some starting pitching too. They can't just stick with the starting pitching that they currently have. But I think it could be as soon as next year. It really depends on how much they're willing to spend this offseason.
They took 2 out of 3 from Jeff's New York Yankees, and the Yankees are loaded. And for the Nats to go and just battle with them and come – get the best of that series. What does it say about this young squad?
I think it shows that when they're playing at their best, they can really compete. And I think, you know, obviously it's not some large indictment that the rebuild is over, anything of those lines. Yeah. But I think it's the thing is, like, you don't want to look at this and like, oh my gosh, like now the rebuild is over. I'm not saying all that. What it does show is that when they're all playing at their best, that they can compete and they can play at their best against even a team like the Yankees. And I think, you know, one of the cool things about the majors, especially this year, is there's no one team that's really dominant per se. Mm-hmm. And so if you give any team your best, you can beat them. And so I think that's what they showed this week. And so it was a really good series win for them.
We're talking to Andrew Golden from the Washington Post on B. Mitchell Philly, 106.7 The Fan. You can follow Andrew on X at Andrew, AndrewC Golden, GOLDEN. Andrew, when you look at this squad, I mean, you've been around baseball. You understand it. Yeah. You know what it takes to be a team that could go out there and compete on a higher level. What else do they need to get in place? I know you said pitching, but like particular spots, get filled so we know that they compete on a regular basis.
Yeah, for sure. I think they definitely need a first baseman or a designated hitter. I think that's the one big thing they need. They don't really have anybody in the minor league system who jumps off the page. I mean, I guess they have Yohani Morales in Double A, but nobody who jumps off the page. And they need some immediate power. And so when you look at free agency, obviously there's Anthony Santander, who's a guy from the Orioles. Obviously, there's Christian Walker, who played for the Diamondbacks. They're both kind of older, but two guys who I think would be good targets this offseason. And then obviously, they could upgrade at third base, but they had Brady House, who's their top prospect in AAA, so they wouldn't try to block him or go sign a third base and take a long-term deal, at least I don't think. But they definitely need first base and DH and definitely some starting pitching. But they just need a front-of-the-rotation guy. They just need somebody who, you know, every time he goes out there, he gives you a chance to win. They have some of those guys, you know, who are young and could be that, but they're kind of inconsistent right now. So I think the front of the rotation guy will be really good.
You said earlier that if they're willing to spend some money, okay? We've seen a lot of fantastic players leave this area. I know Soto said that, so he made a comment that makes everybody think he may possibly sign back. That's going to take a lot of money to bring him back here. Do you think that the owners are willing to spend the money that could get this team where it needs to be soon enough?
Yeah, I think they've shown in the past that they have the ability to. I think it's a matter of do they want to. I think that's the question.
Yeah, and that's what I'm asking.
Right. And the thing is, I don't know. My guess would be that they will spend, but I don't think they're going to spend for Juan Soto. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think they're spending, because the floor for Juan Soto's contract is going to be at least $500 million.
Exactly.
I just don't know if the Lawrence are willing to spend that much money to bring in Juan Soto. But I do think they could spend, you know, they're taking Patrick Corbin off the books, and there's not a lot of money on the books in terms of their roster and the contract. And so I think they can definitely spend and add some guys who can actually make an impact without, you know, spending a crazy amount of money. But I think they do have to invest some if they want the team to be competitive and to put butts in the seats, quite frankly. I think they know they probably need to spend this offseason, right? And so I think it remains to be seen. But I think they'll definitely spend. I just don't think it'll be, you know, for Juan Soto, if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at two teams here in Washington, the Commanders and also the Nats, and I think they have a lot of young talent starting to, you know, move into the right direction. But the ultimate thing is, you know, the expectations of fans gets a little out of whack. You're a person, you see it every day. You get to talk to the guys, and you, like, you know baseball. What do you think the true expectations of them going down the stretch? Because they win two from the Yankees, and somebody probably be going out there, oh, yeah, like Jeff, if he was a Nets fan, he'll be thinking they're going to the playoffs now.
No. Well, Nets are going to the playoffs. I think the key is just for them to finish strong. I think if you're a Nationals fan, what you want this last month is just for the young players to continue to show growth. And I think that's kind of the goal for the whole season. I think that's what you want to see down the stretch. I mean, I don't think they're going to go on some crazy run at the end just because Dylan Cruz is here. Like, obviously, Dylan Cruz had a great first three games, but, like, you know, obviously there's going to be, you know, he's going to go through a slump. He's going to go through that rookie, you know, bump, and or at least you know, he probably will, right? And so I think the goal for the second half is just, or the last month of the season is just to, just to be competitive in games and have more games like the Yankees. I think honestly the key is to play clean baseball. Like, young teams that can play some really ugly games and things get out of hand, and they make base running mistakes and that sort of thing. Like, we saw that the series before in Atlanta. And so if they can just not do that and just play clean games, I think that'd be a very big win for them in the last month of the season. Just don't lose the game yourself, right? Like, sometimes teams win games, sometimes, like, teams lose games. Like, just don't lose the games. Like, if you lose because the other team is better and they have more talent, okay. But, like, don't be the reason you lost the game.
All right, and another thing, when you start looking at teams starting to come up, you're like, this pitching staff, they have a lot of injured guys that they expected to be spectacular. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How close are they to getting back to health? Is this not until next year? Offseason what?
Yeah, so Kay Cavalli is obviously the big one who we thought would be back in the second half. And obviously he kind of suffered a setback with dead arm. So he's in Florida rehabbing. So I wouldn't expect him to see him pitch this year. Obviously, Josiah Gray is another guy who had Tommy John right at the All-Star break, so we probably won't see him for a while. If we see him, it'd be late next year. And so I think when you look at those two guys, and those are obviously two guys who they expected to kind of really contribute. Obviously, Trevor Williams is another guy who's on the injured list, too, and he's older. But I think they've gotten good contributions from the guys who have replaced them. DJ Hurz has come up and pitched well, and Mitchell Parker. So I think it's tough that they obviously had those losses, but I think that, honestly, the young guys who have come and replaced them have actually – made it all work in the end of the day. So I think it hasn't been as bad of a loss because they haven't made it look like a loss that much.
Well, I can just say this. I'm looking at our little collection in this studio, and we got a lot of bobbleheads, and I just noticed that we are damn near predominantly Nationals bobbleheads. Only person outside of Nationals is Francis Tiafo. That's about it.
Right, right. We got to get some more in there.
Yeah. That's about the only... newest one. I'm going to see what that is. CJ, well, it's still Nats. we have a ton of Nats people here, but my question though, like they playing against the Chicago tonight, the Cubs, and you have Shoto Imanaga, who's a very good pitcher. What are you looking for in this game coming up?
Yeah, I think the key is for him is just to, David Martinez says all the time, to get the ball in the strike zone and don't chase. Imanaga obviously has a great arsenal, a mix of pitches, but I think the key is to keeping him in the strike zone. He's a rookie, and it's obviously he's prone to make some mistakes, so just waiting, you know, taking advantage of those mistakes and not getting too off track. I think those are the keys to success against him tonight.
All right, well, we'll see what happens tonight. Jake Irvin on the mound, and hopefully the Nats get them win another series, because if they could just keep piling those up, I think confidence is one thing that breeds a lot in sports, and I think many people forget that, you know, like, talk about how good a person is. There are very good players that don't have confidence. They lack confidence, and they end up on other teams. We just saw with Jahan Johnson going to Philadelphia. You know, so hopefully their confidence is there, and they can keep moving forward.
Definitely.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you giving us some time, Andrew. Thank you, man.
For sure. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's Andrew Golden joining us on the BetQL guest line. Andrew works for the Washington Post. I'm trying to find this read, Landfill. But all of our Nats coverage is brought to you by, let me get to that guy. I don't have that one, Landfill. I had the other one. All right, cool. We'll get laid on. But look, man, we're going to just keep pulling for the Nats. I think the Nats are growing. They're doing just like Washington right now, the Commanders, where both teams seem to have a direction of trying to get some young talent along and keep moving forward. I'm going to be pulling for them. I'm happy that they beat just Yankees because Jeff is always going for teams that have always been just front runners. So I don't believe he really knows much about the Yankees, but the fact that they won a lot. Yeah, you can talk, Jeff, if you want.
You said I've always rooted for teams that were the front runners?
Yeah.
I'm a Commanders fan.
Yeah, but you have other teams that you jump on their bandwagon all the time.
No, that wasn't a bandwagon, bro. I told you baseball was not here when I was younger, and I was watching Derek Jeter. I have family in New York. My first baseball game was at the old Yankee Stadium. Like, I'm a Yankees fan. That's what it is.
Won the World Series that year?
They won the World Series a couple years.
The year before you became a fan?
Oh, no. But the thing is also, the Nationals are very near and dear to my heart, you know?
Okay.
So they're the team that I root for after the Yankees. Not when they're playing them.
Appreciate you. Well, our baseball coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use your savings calculator to find out more at T-Mobile.com/switch. Take us a quick break here when we get back. Josh Allen, it's a guy that I think on this radio station, I made comments about him. Still think the man is absolutely terrific. But there was a vote out there from all players right now. And he was voted as the most at something. We're going to discuss it when we get back. And also, we have Leonard Skinner tickets coming up for you. Stay right there. Be Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, Be Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. So I was going to break. I was telling you about Josh Allen. And Josh Allen seems to get all kind of opinions and things of that nature. I know when I talk about him, people say I'm a Josh Allen hater. I don't think I'm a Josh Allen hater. It's just that when you come with all the skills that he has and the ability that he has, you expect a lot more from him. And people like to say, well, he gets him to this point, gets him to that point. But you know what? The great ones get you over the hump. And Josh has gotten to a lot of positions and hadn't gotten over the hump yet. Every year, there's a survey that goes around, and players vote on most overrated, the GOATs, all that type of thing. And in this year, after over 100 people went through their things and votes, they said that the most overrated person in the NFL is one, Josh Allen. And I guess I forgot the guy's name who got so upset with me one day that said, I am a hater for Josh Allen. I'm not a hater, but Josh Allen has extreme talent. I just saw people lose their damn minds because Jaden Daniels didn't slide in a preseason game where he had cut inside, somebody tripped him up. But Josh Allen tries to run over people on a consistent basis. He puts himself in harm's way. When you are the franchise quarterback, you don't do that. That shows a little selfishness. That shows a lack of respect for the rest of your teammates because he is supposed to be there game in and game out, play in and play out. And if he keeps putting himself in harm's way, he won't be making it. Now, let's go to the next step. People throw interceptions, people have fumbles, but every year he's at the top of the league for the most part, or in the top five as far as turnovers, fumbles, interceptions, and all that the like. When you start looking at people like Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow and all those different types of people, have they exceeded what he's done? And I know people would like to tell me the people around him makes a difference. He has Stephon Diggs, did he not? Now guess who he has? But Pat Mahomes last year had an injured Kelsey and receivers that were basically nobodies. They won a Super Bowl. You have to be able to make that step for people to give you the love and respect that you probably deserve. Is he one of the best quarterbacks in the league? Hell yeah. Can he run as well as the rest of them? Yes. He's a big, tough guy, but you know what happens to those two? They get broken down. Ben Roethlisberger was one of the biggest quarterbacks to ever play this game. His ass started getting hurt because he took too many hits. I was on a team for 14 years, and I have never seen any quarterback approach the weight room like the rest of the team does. So that's a natural little thing for him over time, where if you're not lifting like the rest of the people, eventually you're going to break down. And when you're asking the people that are in those locker rooms, you can't label everybody as a hater because they know what they expect from the best of the best. And obviously he's not doing what it takes for the best of the best. Jim Kelly was a quarterback who came through that town. They went to four straight Super Bowls. They didn't win them, but they were in the end four straight times. He doesn't get the love he probably deserves because they didn't win, but he deserves a lot of it. Well, Josh needs to get into one. And when he gets into one, then maybe, just maybe, people will stop calling him overrated. But at this point, do you believe that they're wrong? Landfill, your take. I like to get your take.
I think one of the issues with a guy like Josh Allen and even another couple top quarterbacks in the league is that they're always going to get compared to Mahomes, and they're nowhere near that level. No, yeah. No one is.
Yeah, yeah.
No one is that level. So if you have a guy and you're constantly, you know, trying to put him in the conversation of who are the best quarterbacks in the league, mm-hmm. Well, it's Patrick Mahomes. And then I think Josh Allen is legitimately in that conversation for like the second, third, fourth best guy, but he's nowhere near Mahomes' level. So if you're constantly hearing him mentioned at the same time people are mentioning Patrick Mahomes, you're going to say, yeah, he doesn't deserve that. That guy's overrated.
You know the best argument for him, people say, well, you saw the game when he was against Pat. He battled with him. You could battle, but you lost at the end.
He did, in fact, lose.
And the thing I think comes down to it now, people have to understand this. I think a lot of people approach me the way that I do because I am straightforward. I'll talk trash with the best of them. You know who else talks a lot of damn trash? Josh Allen. Josh Allen is in your face. He's like Brett Favre was. So when you talk trash, you try to run over linebackers. You know, so in other words, a lot of people think he's an ass. To be honest with you, you're going to be judged a little bit more harshly. That's all that is. So at this point, Josh, and you don't want him to change. I'll tell this straight up. You don't want him to change as far as trash talking. But I would say, if I am the brass at the Buffalo Bills, I'm like, dude, we need you to stop trying to run over people. And I've stated this many a times, and I think if any fan out there listen to me, if you think I'm wrong, you can say what you want. You can send me a text or tweet or whatever. When you make your mistakes early in games and then you make great plays at the end, people forget about your mistakes. When you make your mistakes late in games and you do your great stuff early on, people see you as a person that I can't count on being a closer. You go back right now and you take this quarterback from Dallas. Caller. I mean, he's the good golfer.
Tony Romo.
Tony Romo. Tony Romo, you look at his interceptions per touchdowns, he was a damn good quarterback. But when did Tony Romo make his mistakes? Last drive, fumbling the ball by the end zone and things of that nature. So people basically say Tony Romo wasn't good. His stats will tell you differently. But the mere fact that he did the things at the wrong time, like when Josh then were coming out the end zone and he fumbles the damn football, gives up. That is something that when you are the guy that's supposed to be getting the love that people think he should get, you don't make those mistakes at that time. So I would just say his consistency has to get better. And the timing of his bonehead plays need to be different. Because if he fumbles in the first half and throw three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, nobody gives a damn. But if you throw three touchdowns in the first half and then you are needed to do something late, just protect the ball and you fumble it or you throw an interception and the other team wins, they're going to remember you based off of what you did last. As John Thompson always stated, people always care about who starts. He said the best players are the ones that are in the game late to finish it. So if Josh Allen is leading the way for the Buffalo Bills and Bills Mafia, he needs to start making the better plays late and not worry about all the heroics he tries, taking on teams by himself, trying to do everything by himself. I always say what a great quarterback does is allow his teammates to help him. And one of the great quarterbacks of our time was Thomas Brady, right? Tom Brady didn't do nothing, but you look at his thing, he throw dump off, big play, they win the football game. He rarely threw the mistakes at crucial and in a missed opportune time, at the most inopportune times. So, Josh, many players think you're overrated. You could change that this year. Not throwing interceptions late, not having fumbles, and just keep making the plays that you make without the mistakes late in the games, and you'll get that. If you think I'm a hater, think what you wish. But a lot of other people that play in the NFL think the same thing. Take us a quick break. When we get back, the Mouth of the South, Fred Smoot is going to join us. You can follow him on X at FSmoot21, Sean T. Everybody know that's because of Sean Taylor. Fred Smoot joining us when we get back. Be Mitchell Finney, 106.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.